طفلة تمتطيه قوس قزح، طفلة.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly broadcast of news, analysis, commentary, and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program features the Palestinian voice, the Palestinian narrative, from a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. That is why it is so important that we present it each week on This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts. Shireen Abu Akleh, a trailblazing and beloved Palestinian journalist for Al Jazeera, was shot and killed while covering an Israeli military raid on the West Bank town of Jenin. Investigations have yet to determine who exactly shot her, but the Palestinian Health Ministry, eyewitnesses, and her employer have all accused the Israeli military of firing the fatal bullet. Abdallah Fayyad of the Boston Globe put it this way: Abu Akleh's killing sparked outrage around the world, and for good reason. It was an attack on the press that continued Israel's ongoing assault on journalists, from detaining them to bombing an office building that housed both the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, to shooting reporters to death. But what the world lost in Abu Akleh's killing was not only tragically another journalist, but also a hero and an icon, a woman whom Palestinians turned to for answers and looked up to for inspiration. We begin our coverage with MSNBC news anchor, reporter, and friend of Shireen's, Ayman Moyeldin, breaking the story on NBC.
This morning, I woke up to the news of the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh. Shireen was a veteran journalist for Al Jazeera. She was a mentor, a colleague, and above all, she was my friend. Shireen was killed while she was doing her job reporting on an Israeli military raid taking place in the occupied West Bank. Her killing sparked outrage and condemnation around the world. Al Jazeera said that the Israeli military targeted Shireen and killed her deliberately. The Israeli government acknowledged that it was conducting an operation in the area, but said that the Palestinian-American reporter might have been killed by Palestinian militants during the gunfight. Now, even though all the eyewitnesses around Shireen at the time, including nearby journalists reporting on that raid, refuted the Israeli claim, the Israeli military actually later backtracked on that, saying it is not possible to determine how Shireen was killed at this point. Now, I'm not going to comment on who killed Shireen, but I am going to tell you who, in my opinion, should not investigate her death, and that is the Israeli military and the government. Time and time again, we have seen the Israeli military operate with impunity in the occupied Palestinian territories, and it goes unchecked. No officers are held accountable. No justice is served. We hear, as we did yet again today, American officials condemn and call for investigations into Israeli abuses. But as history has shown, there is rarely, if ever, any justice for the killing of Palestinians, whether they are American or not, quite frankly. And today, the spokesman for the Israeli military, Ron Kochav, seemingly trying to explain the tragedy by saying that Shireen, quote, was filming and working for a media outlet amidst armed Palestinians. They're armed with cameras, if you permit me to say so. Those were his words. They are not my words. Armed with cameras is exactly how journalists go to war. The only danger they pose is to anyone who would benefit from the horrors and injustices of war remaining hidden from the outside world. It is only because them, those journalists on the ground there today, who were armed with those cameras, that we here in New York and around the world know some of the circumstances of Shireen's death. And recently in Ukraine, an American journalist was killed covering the Russian invasion of that country. Did anyone question or try to imply that the journalist was in the wrong for what they were doing and why they were doing it? Now, no one would expect the Russians to fairly carry out an investigation of the American journalist that was killed there. And if history is any indicator, no one should expect Israel to carry out this investigation impartially. Nobody would take that seriously. Now, the killing of journalists, whether it's in Mexico or Ukraine or in the occupied Palestinian territories, that must be condemned and investigated, but not by the countries accused of allegedly killing them, but by independent bodies who claim to uphold free speech and the right to a free press as fundamental human rights. Here in this country, we owe that to our own citizens whose taxes are used to bankroll the Israeli military and the Palestinian Authority, to demand answers when Americans are killed, even when it is at the hands of our allies. Now, today, mourners actually escorted Shireen's flag-draped body. It was covered with the flak jacket that she was wearing that was clearly marked press. Shireen believed in and died to protect that fundamental freedom. She was a fearless reporter who I got to know when I was based in Jerusalem. In fact, she actually took me under her wing and taught me so much about the region and the conflict as newsroom colleagues. We became friends. She was kind. She was gracious. She was hilarious. She was compassionate. Her humanity was unmatched and reflected in the people she covered and the stories that she told for nearly 25 years reporting on the front lines of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And while she became a household name across the Arab-speaking world, she also became a role model for millions of young children who aspired to be journalists in one of the most fraught regions of the world to be a journalist. Here she is, featured in this Al Jazeera 25th anniversary video in her own words.
لحظات الصعبة تغلبت على الخوف فقد اخترت الصحافة كي أكون قريبة من الإنسان ليس سهلا ربما أن أغير الواقع لكنني على الأقل كنت قادرة على إيصال ذلك الصوت إلى العالم أنا شيرين أبو عقل.
That is who Shireen was, and that is how she will be remembered. And here is Shireen on a recent trip to New York during the holidays, posing gleefully outside the Christmas tree right outside our studios at Rockefeller Center. And this is how I will remember my friend.
The assassination of Shireen has shaken the Palestinian world. For 25 years, she was on television in every Palestinian home, reporting for Al Jazeera News Service from the hot spots of the Israeli occupation. Seemingly everyone knew Shireen. She was a trusted voice day in and day out reporting the news. The popular Al Jazeera news program, The Stream, featured a forum moderated by Ahmed Shihab Eldin that brought together Ayman Moyaldeen, news anchor for MSNBC, a Palestinian researcher and writer, Mariam Barghouti, and Omar Shakir, the Israeli-Palestinian director of Human Rights Watch. They talk about their friend and colleague, Shireen Abu Akhre.
Hi, I'm Ahmed Jabeddin, and today on The Stream, we mourn the loss of Shireen Abu Akhre, an Al Jazeera journalist who was killed by Israeli forces, and also ask what the international community can actually do to hold Israel accountable. Shireen Abu Akhre, an iconic Palestinian-American journalist, was covering an Israeli army raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank when she was shot in the head. She was killed instantly, despite wearing a vest and helmet that clearly identified her as press. Her legacy is being remembered around the world by many.
There is truly no words to describe the pain and grief we feel as we mourn the loss of the brave Palestinian journalist Shireen Abu Akhre. I think we're all shocked. We're still processing the news. We lost a brave voice. We lost a brave journalist who was always there on the ground covering Israeli continuous crimes. She was murdered in cold blood exactly for doing so, for telling the truth, even though she was visibly and clearly marked as press for the Israeli snipers who shot her and targeted her in her head. I'm honestly at loss, but all I can say, they wanted to silence Shireen, but we will hold her memory and her legacy.
Joining us today to discuss this obscene crime, its implications, and how it's being covered by international media, in Ramallah, Maryam Barghouti, a Palestinian researcher and writer, and in Amman, Jordan, Omar Shakir. He's the Israel and Palestine Director at Human Rights Watch. Welcome to the stream. I want to start, Maryam, by taking a moment and pointing to a tweet that you've been sharing with the world, saying you recall Shireen Nusri's voice echoing in the house as she covered the brutality of a military invasion, tanks and bombs when you were a child, that she was the only journo that covered an arrest of yours by soldiers, and then you also remember her as a mentor. Obviously, Maryam, Shireen was, you know, a woman, she was a journalist, she was a human, she was a Christian, she was many things. I want to ask you, how are you remembering her, and what was your initial reaction to this tragic news?
I think it's the same current reaction where we're all reacting and trying to grieve, but at the same time, still in disbelief. Did Shireen Abu Akleh's voice really end? Our entire childhood echo of her voice, especially on Al Jazeera, especially at a time where nobody covered the intifada and the raids on Palestinian villages and just the violence, the brute violence. Her, Walid Omari, we refer to them as the original Al Jazeera staff. And you'd think she's safe because she's a journalist. She's a senior journalist and she's an American citizen and she's a veteran. And then today we all wake up to the news about Shireen, not Shireen giving the news. And I really think that strikes a chord.
Yeah, it's clear to so many who knew her and also who respected her. Omar, you heard Maryam recalling what Shireen meant beyond even a journalist for so many. What was your reaction? How are you feeling?
The first thing I thought about is the fact that Shireen has been doing this for 2 decades, and then she woke up at 6 or 5:30 this morning and decided that she had to be herself on the front lines to tell the story of this violent Israeli army incursion into Jenin. And it's exactly the kind of story the world needs to hear because, you know, in recent days and weeks, we've seen Palestinian after Palestinian, you know, brutally gunned down. And Shireen had the conviction to wake up, to go there early in the morning. Her last email she sent to colleagues that's been shared on social media speaks to this resolve, this determination to tell the truth. And it's such a powerful testament to her legacy and her work. I mean, as Maryam put it so poignantly, not only for Palestinians that live in Palestine, but also for Palestinians in refugee camps in Lebanon and Jordan. She was the voice for so many. She told the stories at a time when so few were willing to do so bravely and courageously. And it's difficult to put into words, what that means and how much we're worse off without her telling those stories.
And on a day like today, there's been so much being said politically by Israel, by the military, by Israel's leaders. We've seen, for example, on Twitter, the embassy of Israel saying they had a video that shows that it was Palestinian gunfire that actually killed Shireen. Of course, there's also this follow-up tweet saying there was no claim that the gunfire killed Shireen Abu Akleh. So backtracking, and it seems as though we've seen in just 30 minutes ago, the U.S. State Department spokesperson saying they trust that Israel has the wherewithal to investigate this and to hold those people responsible, accountable. it's exhausting to talk about this without seeing any accountability for year after year, decade after decade. Omar, do you have any faith that this will be prosecuted?
There is no one can have faith that the Israeli government will investigate its own abuses, because we have decades of its practice of whitewashing abuses. It's the same script. I mean, again, Israel has been systematically, routinely using excessive force, gunning down journalists. Let's not forget the Gaza March of Return, when we lost Yasser Morteja and other Palestinian journalists. And the UN Commission of Inquiry wrote a report at the time where they wrote that Israeli forces shot at, quote, journalists performing their job knowing who they are. The Israeli government follows the exact same script. They misdirect. They lie. They hope this will just get buried away, and the international community all too often is complicit in the same formulation. So it's critical, you know, that we challenge, we push, we speak out. We don't let the same script happen again.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about not letting the same script happen again, I wonder, Maryam, I'm sure you've seen, for example, Ayman Muhyiddin, who used to work for Al Jazeera, now works for NBC News, tweeting and commenting about this. He wrote on Twitter, "The Israeli military and the Israeli government are incapable of carrying out an impartial and fair investigation in the killing of Shireen Abu al-Aqla. It is imperative that a thorough and independent international-led investigation is conducted." When you see these calls from people who we know for a long time are aware of kind of why there is no accountability, do you have any hope that things can change? What are the steps that need to be taken? It's almost demoralizing to keep asking that question without any change.
It is, and I think the issue is that we're asking the wrong questions. I think we need to come to a point where we need to ask ourselves, why are we so uncomfortable with the idea of a liberated Palestine from the river to the sea? And once we come to a conclusion to that, we can either see our inherent racism, or we can start mobilizing forward. Because that's the crux of the issue, right? The entire narrative has revolved around Israeli concerns, Israeli lives, and the idea of Palestinian lives, the idea of Shireen Abu Aqla shaking the world makes us uncomfortable. And that's where I think we really need to head towards for change, right? The UN has legitimized Israel. The UN is basically a monarchy of six states with veto power that's just recently being challenged. And Israel thrives off of its colonialism of Palestinians. We are literally lab rats for psychosocial warfare, demographic engineering, aerospace technology, surveillance technology. And really, that's what makes it thrive. It's not just Shireen. It's really not just Shireen. And I think Shireen is just a spark in anything to really allow us to see how deep this is.
Yeah, and just for those watching at home, if you're joining us on YouTube, we invite you to give your thoughts, your questions, your comments on Shireen's legacy and the larger implications of her death, and we will share those views throughout the show. Ahmad, I want to ask you, this tweet from Ambassador Tom Nides, he's saying, "Very sad to learn the death of American Palestinian journalist." He goes on to use the word encourage, referring to an investigation that he wants to happen. Ayman Muhyiddin posted this. I'm referring to it again because, you know, he's saying that the word encourage is too weak. Terminology aside, we've seen some sort of strange new realities and normalization of the disproportionate power dynamic. Even Abdullah Fayyad, a Boston Globe writer, if you look at this tweet, saying, "What a strange, revealing thing for an Israeli military spokesman to say as a preemptive defense of killing a Palestinian journalist." He's referring, of course, to the part where a military spokesperson today said, "They're armed with cameras, if you'll permit me to say so." That referring to, you know, justifying the fact that even if she was targeted, that somehow there's a justification for this. When you see how, you know, Western leaders continue to say one thing, but then allow Israel to act with impunity, to not properly investigate, to not hold the people accountable, given your work, I mean, where do you think the conversation needs to go?
I think Mariam is absolutely right that, you know, the issue with Shireen's killing is not simply a case of bad apples or, you know, an abuse that's committed. We're talking about a structural violence. We're talking about an underlying daily reality where everyday Palestinians face either the cold institutional violence of a system dedicated to the domination of one people over another, or the hot violence, you know, of bloodshed, of Palestinians gunned down, which happens on a routine daily basis. And I think too long the international community tries to focus on, you know, one, you know, even when they want to. Let's say the example where there is absolutely no argument otherwise. You know, it's these bland calls about investigations. We saw what 4 months ago when a Palestinian American man, Omar Asad, a similar script four months ago, is, you know, outrage calls for investigation, and quickly the story fades into the background. And, you know, meanwhile, the violence against Palestinians in repression continues on a daily basis. So I think we need to recognize reality for what it is. We need to listen to Palestinian voices like those of Mediam and those on the ground. Yeah. I think we need to fundamentally shift the paradigm, and we need to take action ultimately to end complicity with these serious crimes and to hold the perpetrators accountable.
And when we talk about shifting the paradigm, obviously it's imperative that we do that in the mainstream media, online, in every corner that this discussion is being had. I want to share with you something Sharif Mansour from the Committee to Protect Journalists had to say about this. Take a listen.
We at the Committee to Protect Journalists are calling for an immediate and transparent investigation by both Israeli and Palestinian authorities for the horrific killing of Al Jazeera correspondent Shireen Abu Aqla. We know that those investigations have in the past resulted in nothing. And this is why we also think today is a reminder for the UN inquiry into the actions of both parties against journalists, including the killing of at least 18 journalists to our count since 1992.
You know, Omar, there have been countless headlines. If you look at this one from the New York Times, Shireen Abu Aqla, trailblazing Palestinian journalist, dies at 51. You know, it's become strange, you know, to even discuss sort of the way in which Israel's erased from being an aggressor, from being accountable for murdering children, for bombing hospitals, schools. We cover this on this network. It's seldom as covered on other networks. I wonder what you think will actually bring about that shift in paradigm that you say is so badly needed in the mainstream media. Do you see any signs of hope?
Look, I do think there's been a shift, and I think that shift is the product of Palestinian organizing and advocacy, you know, over many, many years. And I think that's resulting in increasing consciousness in the international community. But it's not enough. It's not going far enough. We still see a repetition of the same sorts of, you know, misframings, misanalysis, misinformation consistently thrown around. So I think it's important that, you know, as Mediam put it, that we continue to amplify and Palestinian voices. We need to listen to those voices and perspectives, even when it's hard and when it challenges some of our foundational, you know, thinking. So I do think there's been a shift, but obviously that shift wasn't enough to stop the bullet that killed Shireen. It wasn't strong enough to hold Israel accountable, you know, for its systematic daily violence, repression, and apartheid against Palestinians. So we need to keep doing more of it, and I hope that days ahead we'll see more of that.
And, you know, Mariam, when you see comments, whether from Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who called for a moment of silence, you know, today in Washington, D.C., or even from Andre Carson of Indiana, saying, "I join countless others in mourning the death of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Aqla, who was killed by Israel's military while on assignment. The U.S. must hold the Israeli government accountable for this and all other acts of unjust violence it commits." When you see more and more people speaking out, whether in a tweet or what have you, do you feel there is a shift, as we heard Omar outline?
This is where I'm going to have to differentiate. I feel the shift, but unfortunately for Shireen and unfortunately for all of us here trying to move forward, it means nothing if it's not followed by action. I'm really happy we're reaching this awareness, but it really needs to move forward now. Accountability means stop arming Israel. invest these American tax dollars in building a healthcare system in the U.S., invest them in ending racism so you don't elect a president that wants to build a wall to ban immigrants and puts children in cages, maybe kind of shift it there. So we really need to move forward in that. As wonderful as it is, this diplomatic language, it really means nothing on the ground.
Right. And, you know, speaking of a lot of people on YouTube, I should say, are saying this is not the first time Israel killed Palestinian journalists. This is Adventure Khan saying international organizations still keep silent. The Western media is also silent. And, you know, that's part of why we want to talk about this and talk about Shireen as a human. You say it's not enough. Maryam, and I know that you're not alone in feeling that way. If you look at this tweet from Dalia Haduka, she's a friend of Shireen's. She says, "My sweet girl, I can't believe this. What justice is there in this world? There's none as long as you live under Israel's military rule. They will say they will investigate. What does it matter? She's gone." Not to get too existential, obviously a powerful rhetorical question there, Omar, but does it matter? Let's go with that. Does it matter if there will be an independent investigation? Does it matter if Western leaders will start to pressure Israel?
It matters if it can actually change the reality on the ground. I think Meriem's absolutely right to point to the fact that, well, there has been some shift in the framework and the paradigm, which is critical and important, until it actually results in changing the reality on the ground for Palestinians. It's not enough. But our goal here is to, you know, prevent, to do what we can to end complicity in Israel's crimes, prevent, down the road more of this from happening. And that's only going to come with real action. I think Meriem identified some of the things that need to stop, and I think it starts with forms of complicity, whether it be, business operations, arms sales, all these things that further entrench the daily systematic violations that take place. I think we too often, when it comes to Israel-Palestine, exceptionalize, what's necessary. But the bottom line is we need to hold, Israel to the same standards of other countries that commit crimes against humanity, war crimes, and other abuses. And the disconnect between the rhetoric, the analysis, the framework that we see applied to the Ukraine, to China's treatment of the Uyghurs, and to the way that Palestinians are treated by Israel, that needs to end.
And, just for people who are not aware of the context, I want to share this with our audience. Also put this to you, Meriem. Between 2020 and 2022, in just 2 years, 6 Palestinian journalists were killed in the occupied West Bank and Gaza. That's according to the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate. More than half have been killed in the last 20 years of the 86 Palestinian journalists that have been killed since the 1967 war. The syndicate also documents, more importantly, Meriem, between 500 and 700 attacks a year by Israel on journalists. And as someone who's reported on the ground for both Al Jazeera and for Vice, in both cases attacked and seemingly targeted, but certainly Al Jazeera has a certain cachet, for better or worse, and a certain targeting. What can you share with us about your experience there on the ground and what you think can actually pressure Israel to be more mindful that journalists must be protected?
Well, for starters, all mainstream media need to stop hiring senior correspondents as Israelis while not hiring Palestinian correspondents under the pretext that we can't be objective. Israel needs to be held accountable for every crime it held against every journalist, but more importantly, for the reason why they killed them, and that is that they are Palestinian. It is not a disrespect for press. It is a disrespect and a disvalue of human life that is Palestinian. When you see correspondents from CNN, from the New York Times, or from BBC, and they're international, they automatically do have more protection. But these, what happened today with Shireen, shows you how microaggressions will escalate. So eventually Israel will be even more emboldened, and even the international senior correspondents won't be safe. Just like Guevara Buderi last year in Sheikh Jarrah was being attacked brutally by Israeli border police, begging and yelling, saying, "Don't touch me, I'm press." And we didn't pay enough attention, and now we're getting killed. So we also really need to pay attention to that. As media news agency, there is a duty. You have that duty to uphold.
You know, when you talk about duties, there are also human rights organizations, including B'Tselem, on the ground that has been debunking a lot of the propaganda that Israel has been publishing today, including the suggestion that it was Palestinian gunfire that killed Shireen. Take a look at this comment that was sent to us from the executive director of B'Tselem.
As always, Israel tried initially to shift the blame. The prime minister, the foreign minister, the Minister of Defense and the IDF spokesperson all propagated the narrative based on a short video clip suggesting that it was Palestinian gunfire that killed the journalist. However, a B'Tselem field researcher today, this morning in Jenin, easily refuted this false narrative. It was very clear to demonstrate that there is no way that the footage that the Israeli army was propagating is footage of gunfire that could have hit the journalists.
It seems, Omar, even with the work of B'Tselem and Human Rights Watch and Amnesty and many other human rights organizations, especially the Palestinian-led ones, that we are still not having the paradigm shift and the accountability, more importantly. Are you encouraged at all by this sort of work and these partnerships?
I think there's a unique moment where there is a clear shared sense of the reality on the ground that spans from Palestinian, and Palestinian human rights groups have been doing this, of course, for decades, Israeli international groups. There's a consensus across the human rights movement that Israeli authorities are committing crimes against humanity, apartheid and persecution against millions of Palestinians. There's a sense that there is a single government policy from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea that's aimed at preserving the domination of one people at the expense of another. And there's increasing efforts across civil society organizations, to push for real consequences to be imposed on the Israeli government. And I think that's a really unique moment that we're in. Mm. Again, it's not yet translated into shifts in the policies of governments around the world. And that's a failure of the human rights movement. And I think we need to acknowledge and accept that reality, that while we may have a shared assessment, that the international community came too late to that. Palestinians have been describing their lived reality for years and decades, and not enough of us listened. So mm-hmm. It's important it's happening, but for it to actually matter, we need to actually translate that paradigm shift into changes on the ground, and we're frankly not there yet, and we're not close.
And, you know, when we look at certain leaders like President Biden, when he said just last week at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, we honor journalists killed, missing, imprisoned, detained, and tortured, covering war, exposing corruption, and holding leaders accountable. I wonder, there's so much rhetoric around how much we protect and honor journalists, and then very little action when, they're a certain type of journalist, or when geopolitics goes against that truth. So thank you so much for being with us, both Omar and Maryam. We're going to have to end the conversation there.
That was a forum sponsored by Al Jazeera News Service that reflected the love and admiration of Shireen's friends and colleagues. Of course, the most extensive U.S. coverage of Shireen's assassination was by Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! She invited Columbia University professor Rashid Khalidi to set in context the loss of Shireen Abu Akhle. Here is that broadcast.
Palestinians are holding a state funeral in Ramallah for the Palestinian-American Al Jazeera reporter Shireen Abu Akhle, a day after she was fatally shot in the head while covering an Israeli military raid on a Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. Witnesses, including other journalists at Al Jazeera, said she was shot dead by Israeli forces. At the time of her death, she was wearing a helmet and a vest marked press. Ali Al-Samoudi, a Palestinian journalist, was wounded alongside Abu Akhle.
The occupation is murderous and criminal. They shot us for no reason. We, a group of journalists, were there wearing our full press uniforms, in addition to the helmets with the word press written on them in large letters, as big as the whole world. We were obvious.
Shireen Abu Akla was a U.S. citizen. She worked at Al Jazeera for a quarter of a century. She was one of the best-known television journalists in Palestine and the Arab world. Israel initially claimed she may have been shot by a Palestinian gunman, but later said it was unclear who shot her. Palestinian authorities accused Israel of committing the, quote, crime of execution, and rejected an offer from Israel to carry out a joint probe into her death. On Wednesday, Ala Salameh, the head of the Palestinian Media Association, spoke out against the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh and other Palestinian journalists.
Our protest today confirms that the occupation must be pursued. Pursue the Israeli leaders and war criminals who were involved in these crimes. The crimes which led to the death of those journalists, and their last was the journalist Shireen Abu Akleh.
For more, we're joined by the acclaimed Palestinian-American, Middle East historian, Rashid Khalidi, the Edward Said Professor of Modern Arab Studies at Columbia University, the author of a number of books, including The Hundred Years War on Palestine. Professor Khalidi, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can talk about what happened to Shireen, the significance of what has taken place, the latest we know about her death, and even where she was covering an Israeli raid and a Jenin refugee camp.
Right. Well, this is a terrible shock to people all over the Arab world and to anybody who's followed events in Palestine, because she was probably the most prominent reporter covering what is happening there for the last, as you said, quarter of a century. What she was covering was yet another raid on the Jenin refugee camp. Jenin is the site, among many other things, of a very serious battle that took place during the Second Intifada in 2002, when a large number of Israeli soldiers, perhaps as many as 24, were killed and 50 Palestinians were killed, including both resistance fighters and civilians in the camp. And ever since then, Israel has basically imposed collective punishment on the refugee camp and the region. All of this takes place against a background of increasing anger and frustration all across the occupied territories, at the unending nature of the occupation, at the fact that there is no political horizon whatsoever. Israel refuses to change an occupation that has been in place for 55 years and, in fact, is tightening it in many respects. And so there have been attacks on Israelis. There have been all kinds of outbreaks of violence. And the Israeli response has been the response of every colonial army, which is collective punishment and vengeance. What has been happening all over the occupied territories in response to horrific attacks on Israeli civilians inside Israel is essentially sanctioned, state-sanctioned murder, in many cases of unarmed civilians. And yesterday, of an unarmed journalist who was clearly marked as a journalist, wearing a protective vest with press across the front and a helmet with press on her head. This is what colonial armies do. They believe that only force and nothing but force is understood by the lesser peoples whom they rule, and that's the kind of attitude that the Israeli military has. Their systematic lying and cover-ups in this case fell apart when the Israeli human rights organization B'Tselem showed that Israeli claims that there was gunfire from Palestinians, in fact, related to some place that was hundreds of meters away, and where Shireen and her colleagues were targeted was an area where there was no shooting going on, except by Israeli snipers who killed her, wounded one of her colleagues.
Professor Khalidi, could you also speak about the significance of the fact that she was Palestinian American?
Right. Well, I have a sense that if an American journalist were killed by the Russians in Ukraine, we would be hearing even more about it. I have to say that this is a person who is widely known throughout the Arab world. But the fact that this is the second American killed by Israelis in the space of a couple of months, I think 3 months, has not gotten the kind of outrage that it would have gotten in another situation. However, it has to be said, the fact that she is an American citizen, the fact that she is well known to her colleagues of the press, I think has affected the coverage in a positive way. Nevertheless, the systematic lying and cover-ups that the Israeli government is so adept at doing were wheeled out almost immediately, claims that they've in fact been forced to back down from. But perhaps the fact that Shireen was an American will lead to a little more concern about the systematic brutality that the occupation is wielding all over the occupied territories. This case is egregious, but young men are being shot down almost every day, unarmed young men, demonstrators, whatever. In some cases, yes, there are clashes, but in many cases, what is happening is that people who are either totally innocent or are involved in demonstrations are being murdered by Israeli snipers. And this is what seems to have happened in this case.
Professor Haradi, who's the first American? You said she was the second American to be killed in recent months. Who was the first?
There was an elderly Palestinian American who was stopped at an Israeli checkpoint and then put face down on the ground in the middle of the night, and he died, presumably of a heart attack because of maltreatment by the Israeli forces. I don't recall his name.
I think it was Omar Abdel Majid Assad.
Exactly. I believe that was about 3 months ago. It might have been February that he was arrested, detained, taken to an empty building in the middle of the night. It was a very cold night. He was on his way home after a family visit and with other detainees put face down in the dirt and then was found lifeless very soon thereafter. He was an elderly man with a heart condition.
Rashid Khalidi, your family is there. You're a well-known family in the West Bank. If you could talk about the effect this has had. I understand at the funeral today, they're projecting Shireen's image across Ramallah, where a state funeral is being held for her. And again, to talk specifically about the Jenin refugee camp and the Israeli raid, one of a number of raids that are taking place. They call it
right.
A counterterrorism raid.
Right. Well, people are shocked all over Palestine, all over the Arab world, actually. Shireen Abu Akleh was a household name. I mean, her face was familiar to everybody in the Arab world who follows news from Palestine on Al Jazeera, which is the preeminent channel, Arab satellite channel, covering Palestine in particular. So the shock yesterday was universal. People woke up to the news in the United States. They'd heard it much earlier in Palestine and the Arab world. And so there have been actually ceremonies and memorials for her all over the occupied territories, all over Palestine. Jenin has become a symbol of resistance. And I want to say something here, which is that we are now praising and lauding Ukrainians who resist Russian occupation. Palestinians who resist Israeli occupation, which has been going on for 80-something days, for 55 years, since June 1967 in the occupied territories, are branded as terrorists by the Israelis and by media that just repeats, parrots, that sort of thing. They would never describe Ukrainians fighting Russian occupation as terrorists. So Jenin is a symbol of resistance because, as I mentioned, of a battle that took place in 2002, during the Second Intifada, when the Israelis moved into the camp and they were confronted by Palestinian militants who fought them over several days, and as I've said, about 50 Palestinians were killed, many of them militants, many of them civilians, and about 24 Israeli soldiers were killed. Ever since then, Israel has adopted a policy, as it does everywhere, always, of collective punishment. Of punishing a region, of punishing a district, of punishing, in this case, a refugee camp, perpetually putting checkpoints close around the camp, entering in the middle of the night, destroying property, beating people up, arresting people, and so forth. And because several of the people whom the Israelis claim or believe perpetrated attacks inside Israel, in which many Israelis, I think as many as 19 Israelis, have been killed over the past many weeks, because several of the supposed perpetrators or the alleged perpetrators came from Jenin or the Jenin area. This collective punishment and this bloody vengeance, where people are being shot down sometimes in clashes, but quite frequently simply in demonstrations, or quite frequently because the Israelis are just shooting, as they often do, is being carried out particularly systematically in the Jenin area and in the Jenin refugee camp. So the incident that Shireen Abu Akleh and her colleagues were covering yesterday was yet another Israeli raid on this camp, part of what has been a repeated series of raids. And these are not, you know, Israeli soldiers just going after militants. These are Israeli soldiers sacking people's homes, destroying their property, throwing things in the street, beating people up, arresting people, and whether they're innocent or whether they're involved in militant activity.
Professor Khalidi, what kind of hope do you have for some kind of accountability, a further investigation and accountability for her murder?
Well, the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate, together with the International Federation of Journalists, are bringing a case about the murder of a number of Palestinian journalists. There have been something like 46 Palestinian journalists have been killed by Israeli forces since the year 2000. Many of them during the Second Intifada, and several of them just this past year, in fact. Palestinian journalists have been systematically targeted. It's really important to Israel that nobody see what's going on in the occupied territories. If people knew the day-to-day reality, which you can only find out through the work of brave journalists like Shireen, who gave her life to cover this story, nobody would know. The Israelis are very good at bullying the media and trying to prevent the story from getting out. But at the base, where the rubber hits the road, where the journalists are on the ground, they shoot Palestinian journalists all the time. As I've said, 46 have been killed since 2000, according to the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate. So the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate and the International Center for Justice for Palestinians and the International Federation of Journalists are bringing a case before the International Court of Justice about several of these murders. Israel has targeted media offices repeatedly. They bombed several media offices last May in Gaza, destroying entirely several bureaus. And they've done this repeatedly in Ramallah and in other places. So attacks on journalists in order to squelch the story at the root are a part of the colonial information control. The British Empire did this everywhere, in Ireland, in India, in Egypt, in Palestine. And the Israelis have been doing it systematically and very effectively, shooting at journalists, intimidating journalists on the ground in Palestine, and then bullying editors and producers here in New York and in the United States and around the world to impose their line, which is generally mendacious. They make stuff up. And also to prevent the truth, which is that this is a brutal occupation that's only sustained by brute force against the will of an entire people. That fact, and the fact that it's supported by us, the United States, these are American weapons being used, this is American money that's supporting this, is something that it's essential for the Israelis to blur, to occlude, to hide.
Finally, the Israeli Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, went to meet with Putin. There was some talk of either, you know, Turkey's leader or Bennett negotiating between Russia and Ukraine at the same time. Wasn't Naftali Bennett almost toppled recently as prime minister?
Yes, he lost one member of his coalition who left for reasons having to do with Passover, violations of Passover rules. And then there was a threat by other members of his coalition to leave, which I understand just today has been withdrawn. So his coalition is in very shaky shape. I think they've lost their majority. They hold on with barely half the Knesset seats right now.
So does that have any effect on the possibility of any kind of solution between Israel and Palestine?
Well, Bennett is a settler himself. He lives in a settlement. He's a committed supporter of the eternal, permanent occupation of all of what's left of Palestine. He is unwilling under any circumstances to negotiate with the Palestinians. He's made that very, very clear. So he heads a coalition which includes some parties that are interested in a negotiated settlement. But his party and several of the other parties in the coalition are as committed to continuing the permanent occupation of Palestine and the colonization of what's left of it the continued establishment of Israeli settlements, the continued expropriation of Palestinian land. Bennett, whatever the nature of his coalition, is not going to lead a movement towards any kind of resolution under any circumstances. In that respect, he differs in no wise from Netanyahu and the opposition.
That was Columbia University professor Rashid Khalidi reflecting on the life of Shireen Abu Akleh on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. The repetition of these murders and the machine of occupation are literally grinding down the Palestinian people. They know that there is one power in the world that can stop this, the United States of America. We fuel this occupation and colonization with our billions of dollars of foreign aid. We can stop this, but we do not. Our president and Congress marched to the orders of the well-funded Israeli lobby, and the millions of dollars of dark money that goes into the individual political campaigns of those who fall in line. The purchase of our government is what we have to stop. The cartoon character Pogo said it best. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And that is our program this morning. Thank you for listening to This Week in Palestine, a weekly feature of Truth and Justice Radio. You will find us here at WZBC 90.3 FM every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and on KKRN.org at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday and every Sunday for another edition of This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts, signing off until next week.